It's been a roller coaster ride, shall we say. It's been, it's taken me lots of different places, doing lots of records, lots of interesting things. So, I mean, I can't complain. It's been a really, interesting career, and I've reached that place in my career now where I can kind of look back on everything that I've done and kind of, I'd be pleased that I've done a good kind of body of work. When I did the box set last year, Trials of Eyeliner, it was a chance for me to look back at all the work that I'd done, and I was actually quite surprised.
I want to talk about the new album in a moment, but a bit of a milestone birthday this year. Is it a bit like a good wine, maturing with age in your business?
Well, I think I get better as I get older. I think I get a better singer, I get a better performer. So I'm kind of looking at it optimistically at the moment. So, yeah, I've still got the energy. I'm still enjoying what I do. And I kind of enjoy it more, actually, because it's all kind of come together a lot more. I'm I've got much more knowledge of the business that I do, stagecraft, etc. So I find it a lot more enjoyable now than I used to.
What about the early stuff though, Mark? When you listen back, do you hear a change in your style, your approach to music?
Oh yeah, I mean, if I follow my path right though, I mean, 40 years next year I've been making music. Yeah, 40 years. I know, even longer than that, actually, Rob, because I was in a band when I was 16, playing hits of the day, singing in a band, a local band, local sort of clubs and bars and things like that, and parties. And so I've been making music longer than that, but 40 years since I sat down in with David Ball and said, let's do a group together. And so it's been a long road. And as I say, when I did the box set last year, it enabled me to look back and see how I've developed as a singer, as a songwriter, and also an interpreter of other people's songs, which on Shadows and Reflections, I feel I've kind of really got, really kind of got that kind of interpretation of other people's songs. I've kind of mastered it, I think.
Yeah. The whole landscape's changed, hasn't it, Mark, these days? It seems easier, or does it, you tell me, to become an overnight star with these reality shows and so on and so forth? Was there more pressure then, or is it easier now? How do you see it?
You see, well, I mean, it's kind of, because I've just signed my first major record deal at my age, which is an amazing thing, for two firm records, and that to come at my time of my career is quite amazing. So I'm back into a major label world again, which I hadn't been in since the mid-90s. So it's interesting seeing how it's changed. I mean, obviously, I think when I first started, I think record companies were prepared to give artists a bit more kind of to let them develop, let them grow a bit more. If you had a flop album, it didn't matter so much, as long as you didn't have three, four flop albums in a row, and then it was goodbye. But you were able to develop a lot more as an artist. I don't know whether that happens so much now. I can't really sort of say what it's like for a new artist now, but of course we have the whole instant fame thing with the X Factor thing, but that satisfies a certain audience. You know, I think there's a lot of good music out there still, if you want to go out and look for it, and on the different sites that you can go to, which enable you to download music and listen to kind of music, then I think you can discover, people are discovering much more music from different decades and different eras, which is why a lot of younger people are probably still listening to music from the 60s.
Well, you love your 60s, don't you? Well, I promise we'd talk about Shadows and Reflections, the new album, and you do love your nostalgia, don't you?
Well, I think it's good to kind of not look back at things and to enjoy being retro and nostalgic, but not kind of bury yourself in it. I think you've always got to have a modern mind as well, and the way you look at things. I mean, I like the 60s basically of songs, because it's that decade that is a marriage between classical arrangements, great classical arrangements, and pop and rock music. Thinking of people like George Martin, for example, and the Beatles, who managed to mix classical sounds with pop. It's a great decade for that, and a great decade for original songs, great melodies, great artists. And so I tend to go back to that decade a lot. It's the decade I grew up with when I was a kid, you know, to find the songs that I really like to sing.
And your affection for 60s pop music, it has served you well throughout your career, hasn't it?
Well, it has. Of course, with Days of Pearly Spence.
I love that. A
great record, and a great unusual record. And I like to pick these songs that are a little bit unusual, a little bit kind of a bit odd, and kind of away from the kind of, that they're not so much stuck in the middle as that one that everybody knows. You know, they're kind of a little bit of an oddity to them. And of course, Something's Got a Hold of My Heart with Gene Pitney, which was a big number one for me at the very end of the 80s. I think it was.
But you put your stamp on that, didn't you, very much? I mean, we remember Gene Pitney's version, but it was your version. It was your song, wasn't it?
It was my song, and it was a great thrill for me to have Gene come back and sing with me on my version of the song, of a song that he originally had a hit with. And it was great working with him. What a sad thing when Gene passed away a few years ago, because he was indeed. Still going strong at the height of, you know, still performing, still singing great. And working with him, I got this great... He was such a great professional and never let anything bother him, you know, and he was just let everything ride over him. And I really learned a lot from working with him.
I can't believe we've been talking 10 minutes already, Mark, and we haven't even mentioned Tainted Love, have we?
Exactly, no. And that was, of course, going back to the 60s as well, you know, 60s soul music, 60s northern soul, which I love, you know, which really Dave Ball was a real aficionado of that music, introduced me to a lot more music, a lot more of that genre than I really knew. And the song Tainted Love, of course, originally sung by... Well, two artists, actually, Ruth Swan and Gloria Jones. And Gloria Jones was the version that I really knew because, of course, Gloria was married to Mark Bolan, and I was a big T-Rex fan. And this year is the 40th year, of course, Mark Bolan's death. So I'm doing a big show on Saturday, a tribute to T-Rex. So I'm kind of always featuring a bit of T-Rex in my shows a lot at the moment. So,
did you ever see that success coming off the back of that?
No, I didn't. Not at all. You know, we always thought we were going to be quite a cult group. You know, a cult that people would just know. Kind of like, I don't know, that we'd have a small following, maybe a strong following. It was all that time of that when electronic music was kind of coming out. It just started. You know, early Human League and things, and so we never expected it was going to be a big success. It was a shock to us when it really was, and it was a huge success in America. It was in the Guinness Book of Records, one of the longest records in the Billboard Top 100. So it really was a life-changing moment when that record hit the charts.
What about the glam rock era? You say to the youngsters now, this was a fabulous era. And then you think, oh, is it me just indulging myself? Because I actually was there and I was growing up listening to that on the radio. But can you just put it in some sort of perspective? Just how special was that in the history of popular music?
It really was, because you think about the 70s at that time. People forget if you're there in the 70s, it was quite a gloomy time in Britain. We had lots of sort of things going on with strikes and various stuff. And we needed this something to kind of bring us out of our gloomy depression. And then along came Mark Bolan, you know, on Top of the Pops, and just kind of swept everything else away, really. And those records, when you listen to them, those T-Rex records produced by Tony Visconti, they stand the test of time, almost like sort of Phil Spector records in a way. They're such brilliant chunks of pop. David Bowie came along, Roxy Music, Alice Cooper, all these bands came and made us forget the kind of gloomy time of the early 70s. I mean, even the Sweet on Top of the Pops, you know, I actually loved the Sweet. They were called Chinny Chap, weren't they, who wrote the Sweet songs.
Yeah.
So we had this great, colourful time on Top of the Pops, and it was a great time for going to shows to shake us all out of our gloomy depression. And it swept everything else away at that time.
Let's finish where we started, because you said it's been a bit of a roller coaster career for you. So if you had your time again, and goodness, we all ask ourselves this question, don't we? Would you do anything differently? Any regrets at all about the whole thing?
I think you can't. I think I have one regret, actually, Rob, and that I would have put one of my own songs on the B-side of Tainted Love. I didn't realise that you got the same amount of publishing for the B-side that you did for the A-side. And I put Where Did Our Love Go by the Supremes on the B-side of Tainted Love, which was another cover song. We were naive at the time. We didn't realise. And one of the biggest selling records in America, in Britain, in Europe, didn't have an original song on the B-side. So that was a hard lesson that I really learned in the music business, and that was probably the only thing I really, really regret. Otherwise, I wouldn't have changed anything else. It's all been an exciting ride.